Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson with you as we get you set for the Riders and the Elks in Week 8 action in the CFL as the Riders trying to win back-to-back games, of course, coming off the 33-27 win over the BC Lions to go to 5-1, thanks to the Montreal Alouettes beating the Stampeders last night. The Riders with a win will be first place in the league and the West Division. The Elks just trying to find some sort of spark. So what did they do? They changed their quarterback. Trey Ford is number two. Cody Fajardo, number one. Will Belton Johnson pick Cody to eat tonight? Let's find out.
Who's going to eat with Belton Johnson?
Presented by Sherwood Co-op.
1, 2, 3, let's eat!
Judging by Belton's, how did you say it? A southern beatdown? Is that what you said?
Good old southern smacking.
Maybe, probably not going to pick Cody Fajardo to eat. But anyways, who's going to eat? And our tailgating tip with the Sherwood Co-op tonight. Belton, where are we starting?
Let's start with the Riders' offense there, Jamie.
The Riders' offense, who do you look at with these matchups having a big night tonight?
Emelis.
What? Yeah, I was going to pick him too. It's the second game back.
Sam Emelis, that's my guy.
He hardly ate last week. He's finna chew him up tonight, man. What?
I thought it was the default. I pick Sam Emelis every game. I thought that was agreed upon. But anyways, okay, fine. I'll recalibrate here for a quick second. Does Belton like Sam Emelis? Daryl?
They have to run it tonight just to show they're dominating, so I'm going with A.J. Ouellette.
A.J. Ouellette. I'll tell you what, their secondary has been an absolute trash all season long for the Edmonton Elks. I think you keep it away from Kobe Williams and Terrell Ford. I think you pick on Jackson and the new guy, Ross, because Bynum goes to the sixth game, even though he hasn't been great anyways. You got a new guy in Ross in his first CFL start. Let's go Keyshawn Johnson on who's going to eat for the Rough Riders offense. So Belton picks Emelis. I have Keyshawn Johnson, and Daryl's going A.J. Ouellette. Where are we going next, Belton?
Let's go to the Elks offense, Jamie.
Cody Fajardo. Just put Cody Fajardo for Belton. He's going to eat tonight, Belton. Who you got eating for the Elks offense?
I'm going to go Gittens Jr.
Curly Gittens Jr. He has been pretty quiet so far this season for Edmonton. Former Argonaut, Daryl, who do you got eating for the Elks?
I was just looking at their depth chart. Did you know they start 11 Americans on defense? Never seen that. No, 10. Sorry. Forgot about Ford, the friend of the show, right? But 10. Wow. So no wonder.
They have 11. 11 of 12 are all American.
Yeah.
Almost Chris Jones like
that. Yeah, really.
Okay. So that means they have who? On Gittens Jr., Julian Grant, Mathis, and then four offensive linemen.
Justin Rankin, number five, the running back. He's had one good game for them. Yes.
Well, I talked to C.J. Revis. Right. You heard the interview with C.J. Revis. He feels one of the best backs in the league.
He's just being nice, man. Come on.
Okay, who's going to eat for the Elks?
You don't have to pick anybody, Jamie, if you don't want to.
I'm going
to
go. Can I pick their punter?
Oh. Sure. Grace has had a pretty good season.
I'm going to go with Leak, actually. He had a big game last year against the Rough Riders. He's their return guy, and I think kick returns might be a popular thing for Javon Leak tonight. So I'll go with Leak. Where are we going to next, Belton?
Let's go to the Elks defense, Jamie.
Who's eating for the Elks defense?
Nobody in the secondary, so I'm going to go Morgan.
Niles Morgan, the middle linebacker for Belton Johnson, might be bringing down A.J. Ouellette a couple of times tonight. Daryl Davis.
I'll go with friend of the show, Jamie.
Terrell Ford?
Sure.
Terrell Ford?
Yep.
All righty. I'm going to go with the other linebacker. I like Nick Anderson. I really do. Young linebacker for the Elks on the Will side, on the weak side. So that's where I'm going to go with the Edmonton Elks defense as we got Morgan Ford and Anderson. Belton, wrap it up. Who do you got eating?
On the Riders,
on the Riders defense.
Revis.
You like that interview so much?
I loved it.
All right. CJ Revis eating for the Riders defense. That was going to be my pick, too. That's why I talked to him this week. You're stealing all my guys.
I keep thinking one of these defensive linemen is all of a sudden going to
hit it, eh?
Yeah, make something happen. So let's go Shane Ray.
Oh, Shane Ray? I thought you were going to say Malik Kearney.
I was going to, too.
I am going to pick Roland Milligan Jr. I seem to remember him picking off Cody Fajardo a few times in practices. Terrell Ford, in that interview, if you're listening, said their defense had the most interceptions they've had all season in practice this week, which I don't think that's a good sign for the Edmonton Elks offense. So Roland Milligan Jr. gets one on Cody Fajardo tonight. There goes Who's Gonna Eat as we slide right into, see what I did there? Oh, slide right into our tailgating tip with Sherwood Co-op. Thanks to Troy Megan from Sherwood Co-op. Yes. They stopped in earlier tonight because they go, okay, Belton's using our ingredients, so what's he cooking? And I think they walked out of here with some happy stomachs from what Belton cooked up for tailgating tip.
Oh, I saw finger licking, right? It was finger licking good, right?
That's two.
I've already devoured what you brought in, but give us the recipe, Belton. What do we got?
So for the tri-tip sliders, what we have, got a tri-tip and everything, right? And smoked it, covered it in season, covered every
nook and cranny.
Oh, come on there.
just for a second, I had to check, make sure my mic was on, Belton. Sorry, I'll be on cue at the end of the ending part.
And, got every nook and cranny covered with the seasoning and threw it on the smoker for about 2 hours or so, seared it for probably about 5 to 7 minutes, and it was nice and, medium rare, mm-hmm. right? So that was done, sliced it up, and the thing with the tri-tip, fellas, you have to angle it to, you know, cut against the grain and everything. It's not just slicing it, you know, just down the middle or anything. You have to angle it and slice it right. So got that done up, put to the side. Next thing I did was caramelize some Vidalia onions. Got those caramelized. And then we had the Hawaiian buns. I love the Hawaiian buns. For Jamie, I got the gluten-free bun there. And
those King's Hawaiian,
Mm-hmm. I could eat a whole box of those things, I think, Jamie.
They're good.
And then, you know, layer that down with the caramelized onion, the tri-tip there. And my wife made this, horseradish aioli.
It was good.
That was perfect.
Yes,
right?
It was. It was awesome.
So put that on there along with some pepper jack cheese. And then put the bun on top, right? And then the best part of it was we buttered the top of the buns and added ranch seasoning, popped it in the oven to melt and everything, right? Like, and when those bad boys popped out, I think Max ate about 3 or 4 of them right off the rip there. So, and just all the ingredients, you know, Sherwood Co-op and Daryl, after they came out the oven, guess what?
It's eating time.
There we go, Daryl.
It's on cue that time.
Nailed
it. Very awesome.
tri-tip sliders were on the menu tonight for the tailgating tip. It should be on a menu for you soon with that recipe from Belton Johnson here on the Green Zone pregame show. Directly ahead, though, it's time to go to the coach's chair and hear from head coach Corey Mace as the Elks switch up the quarterback on him. With Cody Fajardo starting, that's next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and I, Daryl Davis, Grey Cup champion Belton Johnson here on the Green Zone pregame show as we get you set. It is the Riders and the Elks. Friday Night Football on TSN is where you can find the game. The air quality is good. We have a 7 o'clock kickoff.
Yay.
No delays, right? We're good.
Jamie's voice is going to appreciate that after his 7-hour gig last home game.
And then another, 4 hours the next day after that. But
nothing's still in place yet?
Nothing's in place. We talked about that a little earlier.
Man, what if?
Yeah.
What if there?
I know. How can the CFL not have some sort of rules in place? They realized that they messed it up last time. They don't have the rules in place. And they said, well, we'll get them. The governors have got to meet and talk. And maybe they'll get a new commissioner then, too. If you let the governors get together for too long, who knows how this league works? Just let Stuart Johnson, the new commissioner, and Solomon Elamimian, the CFLPA president, sit down, say this is what, just use what they've got written down for protocol and use the same thing. Because they've got, if a delay happens, it's a 3-hour time frame. Yep. So just use that at the start of the game. And if you want to change something later on, go ahead. But use that for the rest of this year because there's still smoke. Unfortunately, there's still fires burning in northern Saskatchewan. And we feel for all those people, but they also need protocol here. And the CFL needs to get that in place.
I don't want to jinx anything, but Daryl, can you just look out to the southwest of Regina right now out that window?
Looking earlier, Jamie. You look okay. Is it not so good now?
Nothing, percolating around Rollo, but that's south of the city. That should be fine.
It's been all going east. It looks like Mydale and Weyburn might
have there. Yes, there's severe thunderstorm warnings down in that area. Not expecting much around Regina, but it's 30 degrees. It's a hot day.
Pop up anywhere.
Who the heck knows in Saskatchewan. But right now, clear skies, hot weather, air quality is good. But we haven't done bold predictions yet. We better get after it here on the Green Zone pregame show. After Belton rallied off a 10-pointer last week to get back in the race, you were down by like 20 points. You're back to 9. You're 9 down now to Daryl Davis's 44. I'm at 42. Belton's at 35. Let's go through the miscellaneous questions first.
Okay. Call me Secretariat. Go ahead, Jamie.
By the end of this thing, you're gonna be walking all over. We won't even see Belton when he crosses the finish line. But will there be a Coldplay reenactment with the affair caught on kiss cam moment tonight?
Yes. It has to.
Daryl. Even though everybody should just kind of let it go. But okay. I think
we're
so
all
too.
Saying yes, so okay. I'm changing the question.
Okay.
When in the game will the first one happen on the screen?
When are they right? Kiss cam. Third quarter?
That's what I was going to say.
And it happens after kickoff. If it's anything pregame, that doesn't count. During the game.
Okay. Third quarter.
Third quarter?
Whenever the kiss cam.
I don't know when they do that. Sometimes they don't do it. It depends on the day.
Yeah, I'm going to go third quarter as well.
What time? Now we need time.
Oh man.
halfway through the third quarter, Jamie.
A little bit before the third quarter. All right.
Like 10 minutes?
About a quarter in. Okay. The third quarter.
Okay, so like 12 minutes in?
Yep.
Or 12 minutes left in the third quarter?
Yep.
I'm going early. I'm going like halfway through the first quarter. I think that one. Cody Chance, scale of 1 to 5. 5 being Henry Burris level vitriol hurled at Cody Fajardo all night, to 1 being you don't hear a Cody chant at all.
3.
A 3, says Daryl Davis.
2.
I'm going to go 4. The coach told you to do it, fans. Get after it. By the way, I get to rule on what the number is. Okay.
Of course you do.
And the halftime show are the fly ball. It's the dogs at halftime. Which one's going to be the most impressive? Which breed of dog is going to be the most impressive?
Jeez.
I also rule on this one.
I go Terrier.
That's what I was going to
do. Tough luck, Belton. You were too slow in that one. I got my cue earlier this time.
You got a Terrier?
Yeah, Terrier.
Greyhound.
I'm going to go with a collie. Border collie, something like that. For that one. All right. We'll see.
Yeah, a lot more to watch this game than usual.
This is just making my life harder.
You're not doing the Cody Fajardo questions?
Oh, we'll get to that after we hear from the head coach.
Let's go!
He's got the answers to the questions you want to know about the green and white. Now, the coach's chair.
The coach's chair is time to hear from head coach Corey Mason. He was asked, did you care who really started a quarterback for the Elks as they go with Cody Fajardo?
I mean, we always care, no doubt. You know, it just kind of narrows the focus a little bit. You know, another night of preparation for the guys to narrow in. You know, that being said, you know, you still could see both. They've done it throughout the season as well. So, but yeah, just, you know, how the calls are going to look versus a certain quarterback, you know, we've watched throughout the week, no doubt. But, again, you were preparing for both, but certainly, you know, a little heavier emphasis now on Cody. So just another opportunity for the guys to just dig a little bit deeper in their preparation.
What happened with Zach Fry? Injury report yesterday, limited and now out.
Yeah, man, tough situation. Zach ended up being in a motor vehicle accident earlier in the week. He got checked out at the hospital and here, and you know, all the things were good. We were cleared, and then like most things do with some injuries to the head, you know, at practice it wasn't feeling exactly what it should. So again, you know, we're not going to play around with that kind of stuff. And then again, same thing, next guy, we know what that is here, specifically at that position. So everybody's always ready. So you know, he'll be fine, I'm sure. It's just, you know, you don't want to risk that.
So when Cody left here, it wasn't under the best of circumstances, especially for him. And I understand the management has changed. Mm-hmm. But do you think he might have some extra motivation to show the organization, the fan base, that he was done wrong?
Maybe. You know, I can't speak too highly to it. I wasn't here. And I've never had a working relationship with Cody. I respect the heck out of him, you know, but I think most players, you know, there's just a little bit of different feel when you're facing a team that you used to play for. And, you know, if that's what motivates him, then the answer would be yes. But not knowing the guy, I can't even give a good answer, man. I just, watching him and how he plays, he's always looking to be the most efficient quarterback for himself out there, so I'm certain it doesn't kind of veer off from that.
So now you've got off to that good start again. Are you hoping that last year will help you get through this stage of your schedule?
Yeah, you know, you hope so. I think you know, the only thing worse than, you know, learning a lesson is not learning it. You know, I'd be lying to say that all we've talked about is, hey, we were in the same place. Like, we're not doing that. That's last year. The guys who are here, they know. We're just so dialed on week to week, man. We know what we have to do to beat this football team, and we want to do it with conviction. So that's the focus. Yeah.
The mental aspect of the game, like talking to some guys, of when you're up in a game later on, it's hard to not mentally look at the clock and just kind of set back. How do you coach it? How can you help coaching the mental side near the end of games to have that killer instinct, so to speak?
Yeah, so I mean, those are certainly things that, you know, we always look at to how can we be better, right? There's certain ways how we want to play, and to me, the score should never dictate that. We have a call to execute. Let's execute it, you know, and truthfully, that comes down to focus. If we can keep these guys, and we talk about that all the time, be focused and win your job, do your job on every single play. We don't mention anything about the clock. So, yeah, certainly we talked about that. We talked about it today, being able to finish to the very last whistle.
As a former player, do you understand that, though?
Oh, no. I'll never sit here and just bold-faced lie to you guys. You know what I mean? I understand it. I do. I understand it. But that has to be flipped. You know, I'm not going to say that I was the man. You know what I mean? And if I ever did that, which I'm sure I did, I was dead-ass wrong. Where we want to go as a team, everybody has to have that same mindset. And if that's learning and speaking to it from my own experience, and I'm glad that I was the sacrificial lamb.
There is Corey Mays. Never going to boldface lie to you. So does that mean he lies to us every once in a while? This is on boldface lie to us?
It's not like the old regimes. The Danny Barrett regime. You could tell when Danny was lying to you. His lips were moving.
His lips were moving. Okay, let's get to Cody.
All right.
6 points up for grabs on this one. Passing yards, rushing yards, total touchdowns, rushing, passing combined, interceptions, sacks, and how many snaps for Trey Ford tonight? As Corey said, we can see both of them. They've done it before. But what are we thinking tonight? Belton, Darryl?
Go ahead. So,
I'll go first. I'm going to go 225 yards passing, 10 yards rushing, one touchdown, two interceptions, four sacks, and we see Trey Ford. I think we do not very much. Four snaps for Trey Ford. Belton, what do you think?
199 yards passing.
199.
Yep. And how many rushing yards you
have? I only said 10.
That's it, Jamie? I'm going to go 32.
Total touchdowns?
Zero.
Interceptions?
One.
Sacks?
I'm going to go three there.
Man, how many snaps for Trey Ford?
10.
Oh, you think? Cool. Okay. Darryl Davis.
Well, you guys are all over what I was going to pick. exactly.
You can pick the same things. That's allowed in bold predictions.
Yeah, but then
you got to think that win, Darryl. Get the win, man.
Yeah, go the win. Damn, I was thinking 200 yards, too. But what'd you say, Jamie?
225.
225. Okay, let's say he has a decent game. Let's go 235.
235, how many yards rushing?
What'd you say, 30 something?
10 and 32.
40.
Total touchdowns?
How many did you say, Jamie?
One.
Two.
Interceptions?
Two. Like Drew Remenda said, two pick sixes.
Two pick sixes. Sacks?
How many times will Cody Fajardo be sacked?
Yeah.
I think, well, I said Shane Ray is going to eat, so let's go three.
And how many snaps for Trey Ford?
Three.
All righty. We'll see how it goes tonight. Riders and Elks getting ready in about a half an hour as kickoff on TSN for some Friday night football. Coming up next, we go to our player profile interview. Britton Gray caught up with Darius Washington, the left tackle, around the CFL. Roster check and some more bold predictions ahead next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show. Jamie Nye, Darryl Davis, Belton Johnson. Getting you set about a half an hour away from kickoff. It's the Riders 5-1, the Elks 1-4. Each and every week, Britton Gray brings you a player profile interview. And this week he caught up with Darius Washington, who we got to know a little bit last week as the starting left tackle. Came in a pinch and played quite well.
What got you involved in football? Why'd you take to the sport?
Growing up, my family's a football family, so everybody knows football. Even my grandma knows football. So, you know, just growing up in a family like that, and just growing up and having a love for the game, watching my uncle play, and just watching the game over, like from a kid. Because my favorite player when I grew up was Reggie Bush. Because I thought I was gonna be a running back, but that didn't turn out the way. But you know, just football just always been something that stuck with me my whole entire life, and I love everything I get to do for it.
When did you make the change to offensive line? Because like you said, you wanted to be a running back.
My whole little league years I played skill positions, running back, linebacker, fullback, tight end, kicker. So pretty much I played everything. Then when I got to high school, I moved to defensive end, and I played 2 years there, and then I was like, let me try to make the switch over to offensive line and just give it a try. And after my first spring game at offensive line, I started getting some pancake blocks. I was like, yeah, I love this way more.
Perfect. And so you went to Florida State University. What was it like to play there at that sort of program?
You know, it's a prestige Power 5 school, and you know, just Florida State, once you hear the name, you can already think about all the history that has come out of there and just the traditions and just everything that Florida State provides, and just being able to be that close to home as well, just 2.5-hour, 3-hour drive was a big deal for me as well. And just, you know, the years I spent at Florida State helped mold me into the person I am today, because I had some rough years, I had some great years, and I also had, like, it wasn't just all good, it wasn't all bad. It was like I had the best of both worlds to be able to experience, just have all different types of experiences to help me mature into the ball player I am.
Well, and so what brought you to the CFL?
You know, just searching for opportunity to further my career, and just I was blessed to be able to have the opportunity to come out here and play for the Rough Riders. So God bless me to be here, and I'm just glad to be here and just want to give them my all.
What was it like, a little over a month of being here, you start your first CFL game? What was that like?
You know, it was fun to be able to get that experience, just to be able to get back out there in the real game atmosphere and just be able to just run plays and play against different people. But, you know, everything was fine, and just having the trust from my teammates and the coaches to be able to go out there and get the job done and help them get the job done was something that I appreciated a lot. And, you know, being here for a month, it's adjusting to it and just getting ready for the next opponent.
What's made this offensive line able to get new guys in and succeed right away? You're a prime example of that. They did it last year. What goes into the coaching that makes you ready to go whenever your number's called?
I think it's just the culture of this team. Like, if once you come on this team, you just got to be ready to work, because they won since I got here. That's what pretty much preached. You got to come here, work, and just attack every day, especially at practice. And then once you, because we have some of the best guys in this league, so it's just, you know, want to have that competition at practice. So when we get on the weekends and the games and stuff, we just be able to have that good competition there as well.
There's Darius Washington, starting left tackle. Belton, did you ever have dreams being the next Reggie Bush or Barry Sanders?
I was Barry Sanders. I was.
Yeah?
I can see that.
You can see it. But as a kid, yeah.
In Coffeyville, Mississippi. Where, hey. Did you play running back or anything like that when you were playing Pop Warner? Or
nope. Straight to the old line.
Straight to the old line?
But
the coaches didn't see it?
No, they didn't. Not how I saw it. But this Washington kid, that's what intrigues me, right? He played running back and receiver, DN and everything, right? So
yeah.
I know he's got really good feet, just hearing that. And to switch over to the O-line, I just wonder what made him switch over. Just did
no,
he
get said it.
Two years at defensive end.
He tried it and got to pancake, man, a few guys and went, this is fun.
Oh, man. Hey, let's see it tonight, fella.
Okay, before we go to around the CFL, let's get to another bold prediction question. The Rough Riders are the best team in the CFL at time of possession. The Elks are the worst in the league. So, what is the time for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders with the ball tonight? And also, these two teams' defenses are 7th and 8th in forcing 2-and-outs. So, how many 2-and-outs for each offense tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Saskatchewan will have the ball 36 minutes.
Hey, Belton, you want to go 36:01 and I'll go 35:59?
Okay, then you guys pick the next one.
I'm kidding. Because I'm at like a 32 and 30 seconds.
See, I really was at 35. I'm sticking with 35, man.
35 yep. Minutes for the Riders. How many 2-and-outs will the Riders' offense have tonight against the Edmonton Elks? It's really, how many punts do we see? I don't know.
I'm going to say 4.
4 2-and-outs?
Yep.
I'm going to say 3.
This is for
the Riders.
2-and-outs, yep.
How many? Oh, boy.
For the 5. Riders' offense.
5.
Elks. How many Elks?
Ooh.
Offensive 2-and-outs? I'm going 6.
I want to go 8, man.
Okay.
So did I.
8.
Darryl, I tried to let you go.
Well, that's why I waited, because I want to go 8. 9.
Okay. I kind of see where the score predictions are going tonight. Anyways, let's get to around the Canadian Football League real quick. The smoke policy for the Canadian Football League. We're still waiting for that.
Nothing yet, eh?
They have a policy for a delay in the game. Still haven't come up with one before the game.
All right, just time out. So you know how it was earlier this week here with smoke in the area.
Oh, I was contacting the league going, what are we doing here?
Right.
And it was like, we're waiting.
Okay.
They're talking about it. They just haven't finalized anything yet.
Ooh. All right, Jamie. I don't know.
Meanwhile, the Montreal Alouettes beat the Calgary Stampeders 23-21. Vernon Adams Jr. hurt in that game when Darnell Sankey's forearm popped him on the top of the head as he was running with the football. And P.J. Walker was terrible.
They're not the same team without him. But Montreal hadn't been the same team without Davis Alexander and looked not bad.
If,
they looked
Vernon
better.
Vernon Adams McLeod Jr. stays in that game. McLeod Bethel Thompson isn't going any smack to TSN.
The TSN guys didn't look ready to be criticized, did they? They don't like us. That was surprising. Yeah, McLeod Bethel, did you see that last night, Belton?
After the game, he said, don't say anything nice about me now, TSN. There's still this throw, and there's this throw that I missed, so don't start saying nice stuff about me. I'm like, come on, McLeod, seriously? P.J. Walker couldn't hit the broadside of a barn last night. Let's be real on that comeback for the Alouettes. Vernon Adams Jr. stays in that game. The Alouettes aren't winning.
Is he going to be out anytime?
It's concussion protocol, so.
You never know, right?
Yep.
You see how much it matters to Vernon. Like, he was crying on the sideline.
Yeah.
Like, he knows how good that team is, and he doesn't want his injury to impact this team. And he knows in BC he got hurt and lost his job because they went out and got Nathan Rourke.
Yep.
So he's got that to deal with.
As of tonight, who hasn't changed their starting quarterback? One team.
Toronto.
No, a change from who they wanted to be their starting quarterback from the start of the year.
Oh, Chad Kelly's out. Okay. Because Nick has started every game.
Nick Arbuckle started every game. I should have phrased it.
Chad Kelly, But it's
Bo Levi Mitchell. It's the only team, right? In Hamilton. So
he looks good.
He does look good. And he looks healthy, which really makes a difference, too, right?
He got a nice weapon, man.
Oh, Kenny Lawler. Oh, yeah.
Could be a shootout against Nathan Rourke on Sunday night. And with the Bombers and the Argos game tomorrow, still no Chad Kelly. Just
what's going on?
Nah. It just keeps getting pushed back on it's his strength. They're worried about the strength of that leg and will it be able to withstand a force of a hit or anything else. So still not good there. Zach Collaros did clear concussion protocol. He will start, which is good because of all the changes we've seen because of injury in the Canadian Football League. So there's a look around the CFL. Coming up next, we'll get to our roster check, who's in, who's out for these two sides, and our final score predictions right here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. This is the Green Zone pregame show, about 20 minutes away from kickoff. Of course, the game, Friday Night Football on TSN. As Luke Wilson's really endearing himself to Saskatchewan, of course, Italian star deli visit today, and then he Everyday Kitchen, and now he's in Pill Country. So that's the full Saskatchewan experience.
I don't know how he got to the stadium if he's walking. How do you get past 11th Avenue?
Oh man, don't get me started on that.
Yeah, I know. Or even down Dooney. Let's just close it for another year or two.
Man,
why not? Who needs businesses downtown anyway? Way to go, City Regina.
I went down another street today. I'm like, it was open.
Yeah,
a couple of days ago, and it's like, what?
Yeah, they don't tell you. And then all of a sudden, there you are, and you
that
can't
can do
turn out.
Road rage to people, man.
Yeah,
construction rage.
Oh man, sorry, Jamie.
Let's go to the roster check. Cody Fajardo gets the start over Trey Ford. Here's the explanation from Mark Killam.
We still like Trey Ford, too. Let's be really clear with that. And this is not the end of Trey Ford. This is, I mean, he's one play away from playing again. We are going to continue to develop Trey Ford. Trey has things that he needs to work on that he knows that we've communicated, and we're going to commit to developing those things. You know, I think it was more of, we did a deep dive into our football team of things that we wanted to do better or look different. And, we set up the week the way we did with them competing, and ultimately, we made the call to make the change.
Looking for a spark from Cody Fajardo they for this Elks offense.
Will he give it to him?
I don't know. What do you think? Belton, you think that that
how good's the offensive line?
It's not great.
It ain't.
No.
Then Cody's not going to do it.
And how's that receiving core? It ain't great either. No. It's one of the weaker ones in the league, too. So
it was hard to even pick somebody who's going to eat.
I went with a kick returner. J.J. Ross makes his first start at corner. Devondrick Bynum gets moved to the six-game injured list. Former Alouette signed this week. Bryce Cosby added to the roster as Royce Mechier, apparently, changed the pronunciation of his name, is on the one-game injured list. A receiver, Curious Jackson, is on the practice roster as they bring on Tyreek Johnson as an extra defensive lineman, as Jake Ceresna will play, but clearly banged up from last week. For the Riders, Zach Fry in a car accident earlier in the week, so he's out. Noah Zaire will start at left guard. Braden Knowles, the number six offensive lineman. And with Kadeem Carey's ugly injury last week, going to be gone for the season. Mario Anderson came back with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
He looked in camp, didn't he? In training camp, we were wondering if he might make the backup running back anyway. And so he gets another opportunity. It's unfortunate. That's how it goes in football sometimes. Kadeem Carey out for the season, and who knows, right? And he's on the downside of his career, and maybe that's the end of my. I hate to think that way, but it's certainly a possibility. So they need to have somebody in line, and Mary Anderson gets an opportunity. One man's misfortune is another man's opportunity. That's football.
Well, Belton, that's how you got to play, right?
Yeah. Somebody for the Bombers went down. I got the call, came up, and hadn't looked back since, Jamie.
Mario Anderson talked with Britton Gray about coming back to Saskatchewan after being cut after training camp.
I've been coaching at my high school with the running backs, varsity and JV, and I started working in the barbershop. I brought my clippers this time. I didn't have them during camp, but I got them this time.
There we go. And so just kind of did they give you an idea that if something were to happen, they were going to bring you back, or were you surprised to get the call back?
I was very confident. If they needed me, I always to be ready. Whenever they gave me that call, gave me opportunity to come back to play the game that I love. So I'm just thankful for that opportunity, to be honest.
I think I read you didn't even unpack your bags. You had a feeling you'd be back.
No, sir. I did not have it on my suitcase.
So what was it like to get that call and know you're coming back?
I told them I was ready to go off rip. I didn't even have to pack much. So like I said, it's a blessing to be able to come out here. I watched every single game that I was home and just support the guys as much as I could from being back at home. So just a blessing to be here, honestly.
So Mario Anderson Jr. is back and will be the backup running back tonight for AJ Ouellette with that ugly injury to Kadeem Carey last week. As we get to the final score prediction, the Riders and the Edmonton Elks, and how we see this game playing out at Mosaic Stadium. Riders?
Riders.
Okay, yeah, Belton, you got the...
I got the Riders.
I got the Riders. Chance, you got the Riders. Britton's got the Riders. Locker's got the Riders. Drew Remendez. Bold prediction was two pick sixes from Cody Fajardo tonight. My tweets, except for a Bomber fan and an Elks fan, everybody was picking the Riders. It's a very confident province going into this game. What happened last year when that happened with the Edmonton Elks, Belton Johnson?
That was a fun...
What was that, 42-31?
Show after the game.
That was an interesting post-game show.
Yeah, it was, yeah. Yeah, we should never cheer against a good post-game show, should we?
Yeah, but this is a bad team, fellas.
I know it is. There's not much to be scared about, is there?
I've already disclosed my score on the Blitz podcast, on the show, on Edmonton Radio.
What'd you say, Jay?
32-18 for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, a 14-point victory for the green and white. Belton Johnson, you said earlier it was going to be a good old Southern smacking.
I just want to see them put a team away. The Elks are a bad team. Put them away 42-20. Merry Christmas, Jamie.
Merry Christmas,
Merry
Belton.
Christmas.
Christmas in July.
Christmas. Merry Christmas.
With a 42-20. Beatdown at Mosaic Stadium for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
37-20.
I think that's one of the biggest blowouts Daryl's ever predicted.
Yeah. This isn't much of a team.
37-20.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay.
We all got some pretty.
We are. Nice I score. Thought someone would be a little closer. Britain thinks it's going to be a lot closer game.
Yeah,
the line was at 10.5, and then Cody got named a starter. It got to about 8.5. It's now to 9 or so.
Yeah.
So, what? We have 50 seconds left. I was more confident the Riders were going to win when they announced Cody Fajardo as the starter. Yep. I thought Trey Ford was way more dangerous against this defense than Cody is.
But they don't let Trey Ford run. He's only run 16 times in 5 games, right? Yeah. So they've put the shackles on him, and you can't do that. You can't clamp him down.
Belton, did it change for you? Did it matter?
Oh, I upped it by another touchdown when I heard Fajardo, right? Like, mm-hmm. And I was thinking like Drew Remender there too. Two pick sixes. Maybe 3.
We'll see how it goes tonight. Or we're smoking crow on the postgame show. You can join us right when that final whistle sounds. Turn on the radio. Dial the number. We'll have a chat on the Green Zone postgame show coming up after the Elks and the Riders. It's on TSN starting now. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.